Thank you. I think that all of you are familiar with the church's alumni association. Its membership includes all of those students who have completed the 6 basic classes in the Divine Science course of study. Now, the first Sunday of the month, it sponsors a program with a graduate presenting a lecture and discussion on a particular subject. Now, the theme for this year is Tell Your Story. Everybody's got a story to share. You found the church. You attended the Sunday service. You took the classes. And that next logical question might have been, now what? What do I do next? And of course, what you did next becomes your story. Now, at the point of what we did next, our stories may differ. Each of us approaches life according to our perception and our method of discernment and observation. In the past, much of what we considered was based on our experience and what worked best for us. But then we took those lessons in a spiritual way of life. And our desire now is to embrace and include what we have absorbed in our time of study, lifting our view of life above those experiences and all those things that used to work for us. Now, at first, this is definitely a new approach, one that we had never really tried before. We're very excited about it, but we have to admit at first we're not quite sure how to do it. It might seem a little overwhelming. Now, I remember when I first began my study of truth in this church, I had to consider language and direction in a way that I had never done before. I read and I heard a great deal about consciousness and of that need to be still. We were advised to turn from without to within. And then there was that discussion about principle. What was absolute and dependable? Well, it all sounded reasonable and logical to me, and I wanted to know more. So I studied and I contemplated what I had studied. And then I learned that a principle of life is that we cannot have anything until we first have the consciousness of that thing. This is a principle that we all need to learn before we can make any progress at all. Have to be aware of something before we can have it. Now, we know how this works in the material world. We must first be aware of something before we can even consider it, claim it, or reject it. We must know that something has existence before we can invite it into our experience. I may enjoy the classes and the discussions in this church. I may thrill to the words of Joel Goldsmith and Lillian DeWaters. I may listen intently to those tapes by Dr. Ballard and Dr. Salazar. But until I can absorb the message in my place of understanding and discernment, it will not be mine. Until it is revealed in me, I will not be able to grasp the deeper meaning. And all of those books, all of those tapes, will simply be the time when those authors chose to tell their story. While I do enjoy what they have to say, they are simply meant to point me in an inward direction. It is there that I will discover the personal stories that make up my book of life. So in my contemplating what do I do now, what comes next, I considered that instruction to turn from without and go within. Now, I understood that this act of turning, it had to do with my focus and my attention. What was I looking at? I learned that what I looked at, it got my attention, my thoughts, and my emotions. Emma Curtis Hopkins, she called this activity upward glancing and downward glancing. Upward glancing allows us to focus on the principle of life, the one that bears witness to spiritual reality. Downward glancing places our attention on the comings and the goings of material existing, accepting those changing scenes as our lot in life. Now I admit, I had already spent a great deal of time downward glancing, and I too was growing a wee bit weary of its activity. I felt certain that the answer to what do I do now, what comes next, was to choose the way of upward glancing, but I needed a little more instruction on how to do this, but most of all, how to continue the practice. Now, certainly my study of truth, it had revealed the need to leave the world of thought and to venture into that realm of give no thought. But you know, saying it is one thing, doing it is entirely another. Choosing the high road, it is a mental selection. Staying there requires the devotion of the heart and the soul. Back to that principle of life. We cannot have something until we have the consciousness of the thing. Any claiming, any act of acceptance must be done in consciousness. If we want to have a beautiful home, we must have the consciousness of a beautiful home. If we wish to have harmonious relationships, we must have the consciousness of order, peace, and serenity. And if we want to have God in our lives, we must attain a conscious awareness of the presence of God. This activity of upward glancing is practiced in consciousness. You know, the Bible really is quite helpful in these instructions. Lift your eyes on high and behold only Him. The instructions, abide in me and dwell in me. They point to that place of inner being. The place of inner being is not a physical location. Remember, it's a state of consciousness. Jesus called it our closet. He told us to enter into that closet and shut the door. Shut the door to the outside world. Shut the door to our thoughts that chatter and gossip. Shut the door to those emotions, the ones that destroy us, disturb us, and annoy. In the consciousness of give no thought, we are free to experience life through sensing and feeling beyond the words and thoughts. And what does this reveal? The human being focuses attention on his personal needs, his wants, and all of his wishes. His vision tightly fixed on himself and his body keeps him earthbound, following the dictates of the body's aches and pains, the appearance of empty wallets and uncertain conditions. Man's methods are based on man's conceptions. Now, living life through inner sensing and feeling allows us to adopt the Christ method, transcending all lesser means of activity. Now, can you imagine what life would be like if, when we claim for ourselves, that we do so using the mind that was in Christ Jesus? we would no longer be involved in thinking, hoping, or wishing our way to a more desirable condition of health or prosperity. I am simply will not allow us to do so. The declarations, I am eternal, I am the light, I am the door, reveal that our state of being is already whole and complete. Wisdom reveals life to us in an entirely different way. For instance, we no longer fear death, but consider it to be another side to life. The shedding of one garment for another is the necessary activity that prepares us for that next adventure, one far greater than the one we presently know. There is a story about a caterpillar. Now, one day he was feeling very tired and extremely sleepy. He gathered all of his friends to him, and he sadly announced that a terrible inertia was steeping over him, and he was certain that he must give up his life. It all seemed so wonderful and delightful to him, but still, he must go. Having shared his revelation, he apparently died. We are told that his friends lamented and wept, sad that their friend had left them. We smile at the caterpillar's unknowing, for soon he awakened as a glorious winged creature, far more beautiful and wonderful than he was before his sleep. He now knew himself in a different way. His time of tiredness and inertia, they were simply the indication that he was entering a new stage of life, one that would reveal a truer and finer idea of him. And yes, it was first necessary to die to the old one. But I think this is how it is with us when we go within for direction and guidance concerning God, questions about life and about the truth of us. We may have grown weary, feeling tired with that old shell that we have been carrying around. When we enter that sanctuary of inner being, we die to the old beliefs, to that old way of life, and the old way of doing things. We awaken as a new creature, one endowed with the gifts from on high. Now, this transitioning from one side of life to another, it is a natural way of growth and expansion. And you know, we are not actually required to lay down this body in order to know us as that new creature. An individual act of going within is all that is necessary to awaken more glorious and beautiful than our past experience. You see, when we find us in a new place, we take on all that is contained in that awareness. Now, we have noticed this very thing as we travel through different places on this side of life. Whether we journey across town or to the other side of the country, each place has its own characteristics and personality, the qualities that make it unique and distinctive, all in its own way. For instance, there are many states that make up the United States of America. Each has its own flavor, its own climate, and vegetation. The people vary in different ways, according to culture and dialect, according to custom and tradition. We move easily from one to another, experiencing what each has to offer, adapting along the way. We may live in Florida, but when we move to North Dakota, we leave the warm weather and the beaches behind, accepting the colder conditions, climate, and temperature essential to that location. We may choose the city over the country, the informal over the formal, and yet it is all the United States of America. The point is that there may be a dozen worlds or states occupying the same space, such as the United States of America, and yet not interfering with each other. Each one is keyed to a different vibration, a different quality and tone, allowing for one nation, but with a variety of expression. Just like the radio and the television, many programs are broadcast at the very same time, over the same wires or wavelengths. But they do not interfere with each other. Each has its purpose and its reason. Each level or plane of life represents a different degree of existence, but each bears witness to that one activity that put it all in place. We are all united in our spiritual identity. Our true name is Christ. There is one creator with a variety of expression. We are all of God. And when we go within to that quiet place, we commune with our Father in our soul's awareness. We are united in truth. We have the same source. We all have the same substance of the same nature, living from the I Am presence, and we do so singing our own song, one that is essential to our condition and climate, one that is compatible with the talents and gifts bestowed upon us by our Father. And we will not interfere with another's journey, acknowledging the vastness of God's creation. I suppose we could say that the United States of America can be steadfast in its unity, merely considering the various display of culture and tradition, temperature and climate, to be but differing degrees of itself. When we choose the way of upward glancing, we choose the way of revelation and realization. Now, having made that choice, there really is nothing else for us to do. The very fact of passing into a new plane of consciousness, it will automatically bring about a change in environment and manifestation. The very fact of entering into another experience in life brings an automatic change, in some respects, without any conscious thinking. When we go within, the guidance we receive is higher than what the human can imagine or invent. When Jesus asked us to abide in him, he did not mean that we were to somehow enter into his form or his personality. When he called out, "Leave all and follow me," he did not mean for us to follow him around the country as physical man. His call to abide in him, to follow him, referred to his message, to his demonstration of life beyond human comprehension. When we enter our closet and shut that door, we commune with God as his child. It is Christ just there resting in the presence of his Father. And when we live and act from that awareness, we do so as Christ, as the I Am that I am. And yes, there will be a change. Just like the caterpillar who died to his old form, awakening to a more glorious one, so too do we when we live as Christ. When we enter the closet of the soul, we do not have to go outside us to find our good. All that we seek is already within us. All wisdom, all power, all light, all supply. These are awaiting our recognition and our acceptance. When we do go within, we understand that all that is going on within becomes visible outwardly. It will be not necessary for us to gather all of our friends around and tell them what happened, or to broadcast it to the world. Just like that little caterpillar, when he awakened to his new form, a more glorious creature, he did not have to tell anybody about it. It wasn't necessary because all could see it. He could not hide his true radiant self once it escaped from the confines of the old identity. When we go within and stay there, we shed the form of unenlightened being, acknowledging the radiant Christ alive in us. The purpose of today's lesson is to understand that there are many states and stages of consciousness, many mansions where we may dwell. There are many degrees of experience, each with its own flavor, culture, and tradition. Through the activity of upward glancing and downward glancing, we determine where we live. To view upwardly is to live inwardly, aware and alive to that radiant, eternal self. To view downwardly is to live outside the golden gates, outside ourselves, clinging to the appearance of form and deception. Remember, the place where we live is not a physical location. No, it's a state of consciousness. Let us not be deceived. Remember, what goes on within us will become visible outwardly. Let us be certain of what we hold dear. What we accept with feeling will come to pass. It is law, and we will not be able to hide it. At this time, we have the opportunity to go within and give recognition to the true self, the one of God, made in his image and of his likeness. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us rest in the assurance that God is here. Right where we stand is holy ground. When we turn from the temptations and demands of the world, we feel calmness around us, inviting us to be still. We enter our closet, that inner sanctuary of peace and serenity. Time stands still. We find this in this moment. In the ever-present now, we sense and we feel beyond human understanding. We cannot explain what happens in our private communion with God. There are no words, and yet, there is wisdom and knowledge not previously known or understood. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we carry the memory of this moment with us, that instant when we were able to become still enough to rest in his presence. And no one can take that from us. The quiet place is in us. We carry it with us in consciousness. Go there often and be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.